Mississippi is breaking new ground for business at a historic pace. Amazon, XAI, Toyota, Milwaukee Tool, and GE Aerospace have all tapped into our deep talent pool, prime geographic location, and welcoming communities. This is bigger than megasites. Mississippi offers a thriving business ecosystem with affordability, greater collaboration with energy partners, and record-breaking speed to market. Looking to expand? Break new ground at mississippi.org.
From Blue Lagoon Bar and Grill in Texas City for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. Brendan behind the glass back at the station. We're out at the Blue Lagoon Bar and Grill, Lago Mar, Texas City, right next to the Buc-ee's. This is awesome. Blankers, the other day, it was last week, we were jealous that the Wheelhouse went to Vegas, and I said the one thing that I want is to do a remote from a beach. This is it.
This is
we
perfect.
Are doing it right now.
This may be the best kept secret right now outside on the outskirts of Houston, Texas, because when you hear Texas City, you don't normally think lagoon, blue water, white beaches, sandy beaches, and all the, basically, like you said, all of the different things you find in Vegas. We are sitting here elevated a little bit over the second largest lagoon in the country, I believe, man-made lagoon. It is beautiful. It is breezy. And it is a nice afternoon to be outside.
I got the shades on. Anytime I'm doing a broadcast and I have the shades on, I'm in my happy place. They have $2 canned beers. Uh-huh. I'm going to maybe have one a little bit later. But also these mahi-mahi tacos I'm about to get. Looking forward to that. You're going to try the pizza.
Yep.
Full menu, full bar, great spot to hang out. This is the official grand opening as well of the Blue Lagoon Bar and Grill. We'll be here until 3. The Wheelhouse will be here until 6 o'clock before the Astros and the Phillies.
Yeah,
for some reason I blanked on their name. Maybe I've had too many of those $2 cans already. So Astros, Phillies, game 4 of the World Series tonight. We, of course, will have it on our airwaves, the national broadcast. So that brings us full circle to yesterday's game. The Astros getting shut out in the city of brotherly love, 7-0. Really, wasn't a game from the start. Lance McCullers hangs a breaking ball middle to the most dangerous man in that lineup. Bryce Harper takes a deep for a two-run shot. They get two more in the second inning. Really over at that point, Phillies would hang a three spot in the fifth. Astros offense did absolutely nothing. And, of course, the storyline from yesterday's game, you could even make it the case that it should be split 50-50, Lance McCullers and the offense that did not show up, that no-showed in Game 3 of the World Series. But because Lance McCullers is the one who gave up the two-run homer in the first, two more runs in the second inning, storyline of yesterday's game from an Astro perspective is the performance of Lance McCullers.
Indeed it is. And I think that, and I'm sorry if I cut you off there.
It's okay.
The biggest thing
I'm used to it at this point.
The biggest thing is just that everybody's making a big deal of tipping pitches and what he was and wasn't doing. The bottom line is if you look at the pitch he threw to Harper, whether Harper knew it was coming or not, it was a center cut breaking pitch about belt high that sat exactly in the sweet spot where most major league hitters are not going to miss it. He did not have his A game again. He did not have the stuff, no matter how much anybody wants to sugarcoat it or blame, tipping and other things. And it was just very unfortunate because, much like the Astros did in Game 2, the tone was set early and often, and by the time you looked up, it was basically a big, almost insurmountable deficit for the Astros.
I do believe Lance was tipping early. I also believe that everything else contributed to that game yesterday. The Astros didn't get beat yesterday because Lance was tipping. Lance didn't get hammered because Lance was only tipping. I think that there was a lot of things involved. I think you mentioned a lot of it there. The execution of pitches were not very good. Whenever Lance McCullers was pitching against the Yankees in 2017 and he threw 84 straight curveballs, the Yankees knew what was coming, but Lance McCullers' stuff on that night was unhittable. Yesterday, it was not unhittable. Part of that is that his stuff wasn't as good yesterday as it normally is. I thought it was pretty flat. He was missing his spots big time. And the Phillies had a game plan of Lance McCullers, especially against the lefties. I saw some number from Buster Olney earlier that Lance McCullers this postseason against lefties has only thrown two fastballs against lefties.
Yeah.
So that's already a pretty big tip without even whatever Lance McCullers is doing. I do think Lance was giving up stuff in the first couple of innings. I think the Phillies had a really good game plan. They had an idea of what he was going to do against them. And I think Lance McCullers was incredibly flat, missed his command, and all of those things contributed to a very poor performance and one of the worst performances in Lance McCullers' career.
The F-bomb. The F-bomb, you hit it. You hit it. You said it several times. Flat. The one thing as a major league pitcher is it doesn't matter how much it breaks from left to right and right to left as much as it goes from up and down. He had nothing to get it down in the zone to where, that you know, Dusty even said in the postgame, Lance doesn't give up home runs like that. Well, he does when his ball does not dive down at the very end on the end of the break, when it doesn't, on a left-handed hitter, when it doesn't hit head for their back foot, when, you know, on a right-handed hitter, it doesn't start at them and start diving back into the inside part of the zone. When it sits flat and just comes across the plate, guys can barrel that up, and guys can touch him up in a hurry, and obviously set a World Series record for most home runs given up in a World Series game. It's unfortunate, and it's not something we expected to see, but now it's something that the Astros and their fan base has to deal with.
Yeah, traditionally, McCullers does not give up many home runs. He's one of the very best in Major League Baseball not giving up home runs, but he likes to live low in the zone, whether it's the sinker. It's the reason he throws the sinker, to get that downward action, gets lots of ground balls. If it's the breaking ball, it's low in the zone to make it difficult to get any sort of loft on it. Yesterday, that was not the case. If you look at any of those home runs, you want to start with Bryce Harper in the first inning. I mean, put it on a tee. Put it on a tee for one of the most dangerous hitters of all of baseball. It's a lazy curveball, Lance McCullers called it, and it was right in the middle of his hot zone. It was middle, right down the you-know-what.
Smoltz set it up, too. He said, I mean, aside from take the tipping out of it, we can get to it at some point, but Smoltz set it up when Harper came to the plate. His outlook and his focus on the entire at-bat has to be breaking pitches, because from left-handed hitting perspective, that's what they know they're going to see and he lives on. And sure enough, like you said, he put it right there center cut in the middle of the plate, a breaking pitch that Harper was already looking for.
Alec Bohm's home run was the one righty that hit a home run off of him until the Hoskins home run in the fifth inning as well. That was the only one that wasn't a breaking ball. That was the sinker that, if you go back and watch it, Maldi was calling for it on the outside corner. He wanted a little backdoor sinker because Lance McCullers got a little bit of left-to-right movement on that sinker, and Lance McCullers missed his spot by the width of the plate. That was supposed to be on the outside corner. Instead, it was inside half. Alec Bohm destroyed it. The Brandon Marsh home run. Brandon Marsh home run's a big reason why I thought that he was tipping. It was a 2-0 count, and he throws a breaking ball. And that was elevated, not where you want it. But if you're not looking for a breaking ball there, you're, I mean, 2-0 count, you're hunting fastball.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of gave me an idea that perhaps he was tipping, although Lance McCullers doesn't throw many fastballs to lefties either. I thought the Gene Segura at bat in that second inning, too. Like, there was a two-strike count. He spits on a nasty breaking ball that missed off the outside corner. He knows what's coming. And then his very next, Gene Segura is a contact hitter. The very next pitch was an inside breaking ball, and he takes a daddy hack on a two-strike count. Pretty good indication. Like, we don't have the video to go back and look at the high leg kick, the low leg kick, all of that. I saw that moving around on our making its way on Twitter.
See what Pedro said?
Oh, I missed it.
Pedro said, and that was the clearest cut to me because I saw the leg kicks, and that's one thing, but that's a little bit more difficult to decipher in the batter's box. What Pedro Martinez said in the postgame on MLB Network I thought was the most accurate. That was on his hard stuff, on his cutters and his fastballs, when he started the windup, the mitt never got over his head. It got about cheek to temple level up near the hat. When he started any off-speed pitch, he did full hands over the head. And as a hitter, the minute you see the hands go up over the head, you don't even have to react to the pitch coming out of his hand yet. Now you already have a mindset that, oh, the hands are going over his head. I must be getting off-speed. It's easier to get ready to hit when you know something like that.
Yeah, I think they already had a really good idea, but then that pushed it over the top. And then you had the, like, part of the reason I thought he was tipping, I firmly believe that he was in the first two innings. I think he figured it out after the second. But part of the reason is just the conversation that Bryce Harper and Alec Bohm had. Like, Bryce Harper bringing Bohm over and being like, hey, whatever he told him, he told him. And then Bohm was being interviewed in the dugout, you know, during the game, which we all love, of course. And he was like, oh, yeah, kind of giggled about it and gave a non-answer, big indicator.
Yeah, no one's going to tell you, but here's my my point, Jeremy, that I don't know where you stand on this. But in the video room, the national broadcast is on. in the suites where Click is sitting, the national broadcast is on. In the clubhouse, I'm assuredly thinking at least one TV has the national broadcast on. At some point, somebody needs to hustle their rear end or pick up a phone and get into the dugout and say, he may be tipping.
Yeah,
everyone's all over it. Just kind of let it be.
I don't think so. I think they knew it. I think they were on it. And there was the a shot of Miller in the dugout that I looked at once. Miller wasn't even watching McCullers. He had his eyes straight in the Philly dugout. Like, I think that they were on it pretty early.
Okay.
And I do think he figured it out after the second. Because
he retired seven in a row after that.
Yeah, he got the last guy in the second. Yep. He got three up, three down, the third and the fourth, and he got the leadoff guy in the fifth. So I think there was a period of time when Lance McCullers did settle down. They did figure it out. And then I think he made some bad pitches again there in the fifth inning. I want to be very clear, and I think that you're on the same page here. The Astros did not lose yesterday's game because Lance McCullers was tipping. The Astros lost yesterday's game for two reasons. Lance McCullers, even if they knew it was coming, which they knew that whenever they played the Yankees back in 2017, and he was able to just destroy everybody because his stuff was so nasty, he was not good yesterday. He was executing very poorly, even if they knew it was coming. And secondly, the offense did nothing. How many games in Major League Baseball history have been won when you get shut out?
Yeah, you had a couple opportunities with runners on and two outs. But I don't think Ranger Suarez was, like, lights out unbelievable, but they did him a lot of favors. In the first inning right off the jump, you know that Altuve is looking and hunting first pitch that he gets that's in the zone. But other than that, you got to kind of – once he does that on the first pitch, you, as Pena coming up next, you got to see a couple of pitches. You got to make sure that, you know, Suarez doesn't get off the hook with a really easy inning. Instead, two pitches, two outs. Thankfully, Yordan fouled some balls off and had a longer at-bat. But all of a sudden, you're giving a kid confidence in his first-ever World Series start because he threw, you know, very little pitches, got a lot of effective outs. Castellanos' diving catch set the tone for the crowd. And then all of a sudden, it was like, oh, my goodness, he's feeling like he's rolling. And nothing more annoying than a line drive coming back at him, too. And he acts like, yeah, I got this. And, you know, he's feeling himself at that point when you started to see him in the second, third inning, that he got so comfortable so quick, he was like, I got this.
Yeah, he did. He got into that comfort zone. I think the offense, like, people hate when we say this. I think the offense was stunned. I think you're all of a sudden you're down 4-0, hostile environment. I think that there's a little bit of a – I always relate it to boxing. There's a little bit of you're staggered after you got punched right in the face, and a lot of times you get staggered like that early in a fight. You can never recover. And the Astros didn't. They took another huge punch in the fifth inning. The offense never got going. You're alluding to that first inning.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to put blame on the Astros there because how did they get to Zach Wheeler? Attacked him early, right? But if you don't have the success, you're right. It's able to ease you into the environment, ease you into a big stage, and then you get a two spot in the first inning. Now you get even more comfortable. That was a 9-pitch first inning by Suarez. 7 of the pitches were to Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah.
Altuve first pitch swinging, the fly out. Castellanos made a pretty good play, and then Jeremy Pena first pitch swinging and got out as well.
And the other thing, Jeremy, is the difference between Wheeler and Suarez, right? Wheeler's a guy that's been there, done that. He's a veteran pitcher, so you can kind of really anticipate. Hey, even if we know what he's going to do all night long anyway. But with a guy like Suarez in his first ever World Series appearance, you realize it means so much more if you help a guy out. And if you help him out by two swings, two outs, now suddenly, you know, he goes from nerves and butterflies to straight confidence of, oh, I got this. I got him eaten out of my hand already. And confidence is a very dangerous thing if you use it the right way. And he used it the right way because the Astros helped him out.
Houston media critic wants us to mention that Lance McCullers has pitched in 6 postseason games and only has 2 wins to show for it. In addition, he only had 8 regular season starts. There's not much to go by in deciding his Game 3 start. There you go, Houston media critic. Media discussing it on air. 713-780-ESPN. We're broadcasting live from the Blue Lagoon Bar and Grill, Lago Mar, Texas City, next to the Buc-ee's. Food is fantastic. Beer specials. Get on out here. We'll be here till 3. Grand opening here at the Blue Lagoon Bar and Grill. Wheelhouse will be here until 6. Great spot to spend your Wednesday afternoon. The weather is beautiful. Nice breeze. And you got beach-like views right behind us as well. Dusty Baker's catching heat for the way he managed yesterday's game, and it is flat out ludicrous. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Blue Lagoon Bar and Grill in Texas City. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We are at Blue Lagoon Bar and Grill, Lago Mar, Texas City. They just brought us out the pizza. They just brought us out the boudin egg rolls, just brought us out the mahi-mahi tacos. Fantastic. And they also have beer specials for the grand opening of Blue Lagoon Bar and Grill. We'll be here till 3 o'clock, Wheelhouse until 6. So discussing the Lance McCullers stuff, I think he was tipping. I think it was very obvious in the first couple of innings. I think he figured it out after the second inning, had a stretch where he retired 8 in a row, and then made some lousy pitches with the changeup there in the fifth inning that forced his exit out of the game. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. The always lively Twitch conversation, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Joel's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. 6092, can you guys address why pitchers don't have the same routine when pitching akin to shooting free throws? Same routine each time. Granted, men on changes the windup, stretch, et cetera, et cetera. They all try to.
Yeah, they all try to.
It's just sometimes it is tough to do it every single time, right? You have a period of time where you're off and you're working on command, you're working on certain pitches, you're working about keeping that fundamentals straight and on point. A lot of times you just slightly fall out of it. It doesn't take much. I mean, you're talking about glove positioning by 6 inches. It can be a world of difference.
It's also because you're dealing with professional hitters now, and they're looking for every little advantage they can get. And it can be something as simple because as a pitcher, you're worried about release points and slots where your arm is, being the same on breaking pitches and fastballs. And then you're also in the back of your mind, and sometimes you lose sight of it because it's muscle memory, that you're not thinking about, well, my glove could be slightly lower, or I could be doing something, turning my hand, moving my hand, adjusting my glove when I'm throwing a breaking pitch that I'm not even mentally aware that I'm doing, that the hitters are seeing and going, oh, when he does this, we're getting that. And so a lot of times it's not even something that you do through the theory of repetition. Your muscle memory thinks you're doing it the same way, throwing either pitch, and in reality, you're not. And that's why it's so difficult. It's a science to be a pitcher.
We'll get into the Dusty stuff in a little bit because Dusty's taking some strays. I think that they're strays after what happened in Game 3. 713-780-ESPN. Wanted to ask you this, too. Does it make you feel better, worse, or indifferent that Lance McCullers Jr. was responsible for every run in yesterday's game?
Well, I think that, you know, it's a positive that your bullpen, especially your Urquidy, came in and did you just a ton of solids by, you know, basically coming in and keeping you at least somewhat alive and in the game and eating up innings so you didn't have to go deep into your bullpen. I think from my perspective, when we got into this series and we were debating what they were going to do, I just thought if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I would have stayed with Javier in Game 3.
Yeah.
So that was the thing that kept crossing my mind as runs kept crossing the plate. But it was on McCullers. It was a bad start. It's a lot easier to decipher and figure out from a managerial perspective if your bullpen threw zeros and you knew that the guy just wasn't on his A game and giving up home runs, which is normally not like him. So it's a lot easier to kind of turn the page and move forward on this than it would be if every single guy you brought into the game was getting touched up.
To me, I'm kind of indifferent-ish. Like, the Phillies had a game plan against Lance McCullers Jr. They didn't go to the film room studying Ryan Stanek. They didn't go to the film room studying Jose Urquidy. They went to the film room trying to get as much information possible to defeat Lance McCullers, and they were successful with that. Mm-hmm. So, like, I put more stock in that than, like, Stanek came in for 2 outs, struck out both dudes. I put more stock in Lance McCullers' outing than Jose Urquidy giving you some quality innings out of the bullpen, which neither one of those things can be like that. That is a very thankful thing that they did to the rest of the pitching staff. Jose Urquidy eating up innings, saving the bullets for the bullpen for what the Astros are hoping is a deep series. You tip your cap to that very professional job for Jose Urquidy. But the Phillies were trying to win that game off of Lance McCullers, and they won that game off of Lance McCullers. So on that side, it doesn't make me feel any better, but it does feel like you can correct it, right? Okay, well, let's figure out Lance McCullers. Let's get him right, and if you get to a Game 7, then you feel like you have a better shot than what you had in Game 3. The offense, though, is a whole other conversation.
It is.
You score nothing in a game. It doesn't matter what happened with the pitching staff.
You're right. And the thing is, you know, like I said, Ranger Suarez wasn't Nolan Ryan. But you helped Ranger Suarez look like an all-world type talent by helping him out a lot. The at-bats weren't great. Yeah, you got a couple of hits, but you didn't get them from the guys you would expect to get them. And I think the other problem is once the hole started to get deeper, guys started to press at the plate. and they got a little bit more desperate with their swings. Even a guy like Bregman, and he did barrel up a few, and he had that one that just barely went foul.
I was almost happy it went foul, to be honest with you.
Why is that?
Don't waste the bomb. Don't waste the dong. I really was. I really had that thought. It went just foul, and I looked at my wife. I go, you know what? I'm glad that was foul.
Yeah, I mean, I think Bregman's – I don't worry about him, and I still think Altuve had some good at-bats, but I think overall – you get into a different mindset when you take a gut punch like they took right off the jump. It's like game two for the Phillies. When they, you know, when the Astros did, you know, what three hits and four pitches, three extra base hits, two runs, then they basically self-inflict another run, and you start going, this might not be our night. And then as you get deeper into the game and realize we're not doing anything to help our cause, guys start to change their approach. They get a little bit more antsy in the box. They get a little bit more desperate in their swings. And then you're just headed for a night where you're basically – the Astros are not a great come-from-behind team anyway. Yeah. But it was like one of those nights where they felt like, we ain't coming back from this, so let's just get through this and get it over with.
4-0 felt daunting. 7-0 put the game out of reach. 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line. Let's go out there to get Chris in here. Chris, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Chris?
Yeah, good afternoon, Joel and Jeremy. Hopefully, for your sake, Jeremy, Joel left their phone bikini at the house. Hey, listen, I got two things. First of all, Jeremy, I do remember the Phillies coming back from 5-0 when all the momentum was going their way and Tucker hitting those two bombs. So it is possible that I'm kind of being funny. I think you know that. But, I mean, to say that the offense suffered because the other team scored four fast, I mean, come on. So this is my other point with the offense. I mean, I saw it on Twitter, so it's got to be true, but there's been three games in World Series history where the team has been shut out, and all of them have been by the Astros. Our bats need to wake up. And I think Dusty's leash on these pitchers need to be short because the offense is suffering like it is, you know? So
yep.
I think a 3-0 lead, Dusty needs to treat it like a 7-0 lead.
Appreciate the call, Chris. I think that you can make comparisons of when it was 4-0 to how Rob Thompson handled the Phillies game when it was 5-0. But remember in that game that Nola was able to kind of right the ship.
Settle down.
He was able to settle down a little bit and at least got it to the midpoint of that game still at 5-0. And at that point, by the time he left, the Phillies kind of chipped away at it a little bit as well. But Thompson did manage that game far more aggressively than we've seen anything from Dusty Baker. And Dusty Baker is taking a lot of heat for not pulling Lance McCullers on a shorter leash. I don't look at anything that the one criticism I have for Dusty yesterday was actually using Ryan Stanek. I didn't think that was a good spot for Ryan Stanek. McTaggart responded to my tweet and he said, well, you needed a guy to kind of be the fireman there and then give Jose Urquidy more time to warm up. Great. Use Will Smith. I know that Ryan Stanek hasn't been used a lot and might need the work. I don't want the Phillies to see Ryan Stanek.
Exactly.
I didn't like him down 7-0 into a game for two outs.
It's twofold, Jeremy, too, because you wonder where he fits into Dusty Baker's hierarchy in terms of relief pitchers.
I think he's fifth.
If that's where he wants to dump him. You know, you had Hunter Brown up early, just at least starting to toss in case Lance wasn't able to get out and at least somewhat steady the ship. And so you could have used a Hunter Brown there. You could have used a lot of different guys there. But Stanek, though he might not be one of your 7th, 8th, or 9th inning guys currently, he's still a high-leverage guy because he has a big-time fastball and a strikeout pitch in his split finger that I was surprised he went there to try and get the two outs that Stanek was able to get. And that's why I said it's surprising he used him there. It's also surprising because now I'm perplexed what role Stanek really truly has with this team going forward for the rest of the series. And basically it's been that way for all of the playoffs. It's been a big question mark, like where the hell – what happened and where the hell did we get to where all of a sudden Stanek's on the outside looking in?
I think he got demoted and Brian Abreu got promoted, but I can't really blame Dusty for that. The four guys that are above Ryan Stanek have been fantastic. Yep. So, like, you can't just sit there and be like, oh, Dusty, he's managing terrible with his usage of Ryan Stanek. The four dudes that are ahead of Ryan Stanek have been lights out. You can't criticize Dusty Baker for that.
No, you can't. And here's the other thing with the Dusty situation with everybody wanting to just unload. And I think it's one of those victims of circumstance. Dusty's a victim of circumstance with Astros Twitter where you get people that just want to unload and vent on someone because they want them to feel the pain they're feeling for this loss. And they all just started to point the finger that it had to be Dusty. And we'll get into it a little bit more. But I'm with you. I don't think that Dusty deserves the amount of of heat that he's feeling today after a game where his players just didn't perform.
Yeah, let's talk about that dusty leash. Also, a lot of people want to get in on the conversation. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Dusty Baker's leash. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about Vivia.com. Look, I've been telling you about Vivia now for quite a while because it's a great company, and it does great things. You know what it does? It takes care of the dirty work that you don't want to do, so you don't have to, by making sure that if you're doing renovations around the house, maybe you're doing some spring cleaning a little bit early, maybe you're doing something where you're renovating your garage, your attic, and you're getting rid of a whole bunch of stuff. You know what you want to do. You just didn't think about what you're going to do with the stuff you're getting rid of. That's where Vivia comes in, because they're going to come to you and they're going to take it all away and get rid of it so you don't have to. They bring a 10-yard or a 15-yard roll-off dumpster right to your driveway. Fits beautifully, looks nice, HOA won't give you any hassles, and they can drop it off and they can take it away on the very same day. They do the same thing for project managers. You've heard of Texas Custom Patios, who advertises on our station. You know who they use when they want to get rid of all their excess and their waste on a certain project? Vivia. That's why you should too. They'll take care of the trash so you don't have to. Go Vivia.com. That's GOVAVIA.com. Get in touch with them. If you've got something that needs to go, they'll take care of it in no time at all. We love Vivia.com. Go check them out today. Go Vivia.com.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Blue Lagoon Bar and Grill in Texas City. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Broadcasting live, Blue Lagoon Bar and Grill. I am fat because they fed us. I am happy. I am on basically a beach, wearing the shades. Over under me saying I'm wearing my shades a dozen times until 3 o'clock.
You're
I'm taking the
there.
Over on that. Great spot. The food's fantastic. They brought us out a little onion mushroom pizza for you. But it is very good.
Barbecue chicken pizza.
They call it the Texan with the barbecue chicken, the onion on it, a little spicy barbecue sauce, very good. AC just made his way through these mahi-mahi tacos. I'm surprised that he was able to try something with a little bit of seasoning. The Boudin egg rolls, fantastic as well. The food here is amazing. Drink specials, it is the grand opening. Lago Mar in Texas City, the Blue Lagoon Bar and Grill right next to the Buc-ee's. Got to swing on out here. Beautiful day, too. If you can't make it today, come on out here at some point.
I keep calling it the best-kept secret outside of Houston, on the outskirts of Houston, because I don't think you people realize, and you should look at the video that we cut for social media as well. Like, it literally is a crystal blue watered lagoon with white sand beaches, and they're going to have cabanas. And this is just the first stage of many stages of this development. It is fantastic. There's going to be a hotel at a certain point. It's going to be like a Vegas pool atmosphere. This place is unreal, and residents that are selling townhouses are starting to already, you know, lay their claim and get their spots. But if you haven't seen a place like this and you don't believe it could exist right outside of Houston, you got to check this place out. It's amazing. Scott is taking great care of us already, and we appreciate everybody here.
Basically Laguna Beach in Texas City, and they have cheap beer. Who doesn't love that? $2 canned beers, $3 canned cocktails. So good place to get a little cheap alcohol as well. 713-780-ESPN. Talking about the Astros, game three failures, Lance failure, offense failure. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Dre, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Dre?
Dre,
hello?
Let's go.
Yeah,
yes,
what's
Dre,
up, Dre?
Go ahead.
I just want to know why the Astros haven't been following metrics, baseball metrics, leading into the World Series. What happened to all that?
What do you mean?
Yeah, what's your point?
Like, what metrics are they not following?
JV is not the best World Series pitcher, and I don't know why they continue to think that he's going to do any more than he's already done in the World Series. I just don't understand that.
See, that's kind of picking the metrics that you want, though, right? Because there's and Blankers and I talk about this a lot, because, like, Blankers is more eye guy. I'm probably more of a number guy, although I think both are very, very important. I think you need to have a combination of numbers and feel. I think that's the best that you can find in a person. So whenever you say they're ignoring the metrics because they continue to use Justin Verlander, and you're using his whole career of the World Series, 8 starts now, you know, plus 6 ERA, those numbers aren't good. But if you choose the metrics of his regular season, 2022, he was the best pitcher in the American League. So you're kind of cherry-picking the metrics that you want to use, and you're basically valuing the ones to make your case and to make your narrative.
Does that sound familiar?
What's that?
When I always say that when you go to make a point, there's always a number or an analytical stat that can back up your side of that opinion.
Sure.
That doesn't necessarily mean it's fact and true, well, but you can always find it, right?
I mean, if you have a career 1,000 OPS and you're 1,000 OPS every single year and you have a 1,000 OPS in the playoffs, I that can be true.
No,
that is pretty defined.
But my point is more along the lines, if you're making through, you have an opinion, a strong opinion, and it's basically numbers driven because you focused on a stat. You can find the stat that backs up the narrative of your opinion. That doesn't necessarily mean it's always going to be true, because I believe in analytics, but I believe in the eye test, and I believe the best-case scenario is somewhere in the middle using both. And I think that bringing JV into this, when we should be focused on what happened last night, and the fact that even in JV's start, you had a five-run pad at a certain point, and then you let it all get away. Yes, JV can be blamed for that, but you know he's not going to be blamed for what happened last night. Last night you had zero offense. Last night you had a pitcher that you've been relying on, that you've been counting on for this very situation for playoff baseball, that did not have his best stuff and have his best performance, and that's where the focus should be. It shouldn't be on Dusty Baker. It shouldn't be on Justin Verlander at this point. What you really should be focused on is tonight's game, because you've got to have it, and if you get it, then you can start worrying about what you want to do with Justin Verlander and what you think should be discussed.
713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Davies on the text line. I don't mind getting spanked game three. What hurts more is the long leash on JV game one that lost it for the Astros. Dusty Baker's taking a lot of heat for game three. Brian T. Smith in the Chronicle today said Dusty needs to wake up. I do take offense of like how Dusty managed game one. I don't think he managed a very good game one. I thought he should have had a much quicker lease on Justin Verlander. I don't think the same thing yesterday. I don't think that Dusty did anything wrong with the usage of Lance McCullers.
No.
He got through the second inning, and like by the time Hunter Brown was warming up, by the time he would have been ready to go, Lance McCullers was able to get out of the inning. He retired eight straight from the last out of the second inning to the first out in the fifth. He had a perfect third, a perfect fourth. He figured out the tipping, and he started to look okay. Started to use the cutter more, started to use the changeup a little bit more. And then he made a couple of lousy pitches in the fifth inning and was taken out of the game. I don't think that Dusty mismanaged that game at all. I take a minor questioning of Ryan Stanek, but that's not a big deal. That's not really something to, you know, die on a hill over. Game three, I don't think Dusty did anything wrong. Game one, that's the one that I can point my finger to.
He put Hensley in the lineup. He got a single. So, you know what? Better than we even expected. But, you know, you even can't say that. My thing on Dusty, the only thing that I can say, and again, it's minor, is the fact that I'm fine with everything the way he handled Lance. The only thing I would have said is, as you got into that fifth inning, no matter if he was cruising or not, you knew where his pitch count was. You knew that he had already gone through some high-leverage situations. You could have had someone already in the process of loosening so that you could have had him ready sooner to replace Lance and get him in quicker. Other than that, I don't have the problems that a lot of people have with Dusty. I saw people on Twitter reverting back to every time Dusty Baker's ever been in a World Series and his playoff resume with pitchers, and it's not to that level, people. The fact is, if you're an Astros fan and you want to place blame, it's McCullers, it's the offense. And basically, that's where it ends.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't see it.
There's a much bigger difference trying to preserve a 5-0 lead in game one or a 5-3 lead once it got to that fifth inning than it is trying to preserve a 4-0 deficit and then eventually, you know, a 7-run deficit once you got out of that fifth inning. And I agree with Chris's point, our first caller. Like, you want to keep your offense in it. Down 4 runs, down 7. Much better chance of you coming back
whenever
you're down by 4. But it looked like Lance McCullers entering that inning had figured it out, had retired 8 straight. So you're just going to pull a dude that retired 8 straight? I'm not. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Back out to the HRP listener line for Chad. You're in the Hive of the Killer Bees. Chad, what's up? Not Chad. It is not Chadley. It is Gary. Gary, you're in the Hive of the Killer Bees. What's up, Gary?
Hey, guys. Nice talking to you. Hey, listen, I've listened to other channels, too, and I turn it on when you guys are on there because you guys are great. But everybody's missing everything here. You guys kind of touched on it here a little bit, but there was no blame at all anywhere last night on the pitching. If it was on the pitching, he would have pulled him after the third batter last night. After
Do you
the
think
third
you should
batter,
blame McCullers, Gary?
Came up, it was two, it was
you don't think McCullers deserves blame?
I'm sorry?
You don't think McCullers deserves blame for last night's performance?
No, you won't. If you let me finish, you'll see why I'm talking about it. It's the forest for the trees. It was 2-0 after the fourth batters. Astros didn't score a run, so it was all irrelevant, the pitching after that point. How would McCullers be the blame if the Astros did not even score a run? It was all on the offense,
yeah, but Gary,
or the lack of offense,
Gary,
last
Gary,
night.
But you still yes, rely sir. On a pitcher that's being considered one of your three best pitchers to get guys out, to keep you in the game, whether your offense does their end of the bargain or not. You're looking for your starting pitcher to give you 5 to 6 innings minimum of being able to shut down the other team's offense. He wasn't able to do that. He didn't have his A game. We talked about how he was hanging his breaking pitches and leaving them over the plate. And that's what you rely on a guy that's been given the ball in the third game, when last series he was given the ball in the fourth game. So, you know, he's a guy that you're counting on, and that's why you can place blame on a guy that he didn't get his job done.
I see his point. I see the point of Gary. Like, what's the difference between losing 2-0 and 7-0? It doesn't matter. You're down 2-1 after three games of the World Series. Like, I understand what he's saying. I don't necessarily agree with what he's saying. He said, well, after the 2-run homer, the Astros didn't score a run. You got to put the blame all on the offense and zero on Lance McCullers. Oh, who's the guy that hung a curveball middle right down to Bryce Harper, one of the best players in all of baseball? I think you can assign some blame to Lance McCullers, even if that was the only two runs that he gave up in the entire game. Also, if you're an offense, and I agree with you, Gary, the offense didn't do a whole lot. They didn't do anything. They didn't score a run against the Phillies yesterday. When you're trying to come back from two runs, different than when you're trying to come back from seven. When you're trying to come back from four runs, different than when you're trying to come back from
seven.
My
whole thing is about the mindset, Jeremy. You just touched on it. The fact is, in that dugout, throughout that lineup, if they know it's a two-run game, they're still going to be dialed in and hyper-focused. And they are going to feel like, hey, all it takes is, you know, a dink and a dunk and then a big blow or, a gap shot. We have a chance with only down two runs. We can get back in this ball game. But when it starts to add up with, you know, home run after home run and the deficit starts getting bigger, that's when the offense starts going, this might be not our night, fellas. This might be one where we just got to chalk it up that they got us tonight and we got to come back and get them tomorrow night. And they fold up their tents way before they otherwise would if it was a two-run game and they were still dialed in that, hey, at any moment we could get right back in this thing. We saw the Phillies do it against the Padres. We saw the Astros do it against the Mariners.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Ken, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Ken?
Hey, how you guys doing this afternoon?
What's up, Ken?
Been better.
Hey, I got two things, and I'll hang up and listen. The first one is, why doesn't Dusty ever call timeout when the pitcher's getting trouble? And these guys are getting paid to play a whole game, so they shouldn't be giving up. Thank y'all. Y'all have a good day.
I think he's got a point. I think that Dusty Baker need to utilize his 22nd timeouts a little bit better than he's been utilizing them. I think that's one area that you can point to Dusty Baker and you say, you know what? He's got these 22nd timeouts. He's got these use it or lose it that he needs to be taking in the fifth. In sincerity, Ken, the mound visits, one, they're limited now. You don't get as many. You don't get Carlos Correa able to walk to the mound an infinite amount of times, which was the primary reason he was able to receive $35.1 million, because he's the best mound visitor in the history of the game. You're limited to how often you can do it, so you kind of have to pick your spots. It's not like the 17 World Series where Brian McCann was going to the mound every other hitter. So you have to be a little selective how you do it. I think that the Astros do a pretty good job. You see Maldonado go out there in a tight spot. You see Miller go out there in a tight spot. I don't really see any reason to criticize how the Astros handle the limited mound visits that they get per game.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. Look, I think that, again, everybody's looking to be hyper-focused on who are we blaming and whose fault is it that this happened last night. And you can point the finger a million different ways, but the bottom line is you just didn't perform. You didn't step up. You didn't do what you needed to do as a team, individually, offensively, and or from a pitching perspective with Lance McCullers. And you just got to, like Alex Bregman said after the game, you have to turn the page. The team has been very good about doing this all season long, that once the game is done, they can put it behind them very quickly, focus on the next game. The game at hand is tonight. If you get the game tonight, the same way Frank Thomas and all these guys on MLB Network and all these other guys, you know, are basically saying it could be a short series. This could be over quickly, good, the way it's been going. It could also be a long series, and all it takes is winning tonight. And now you know you're guaranteed coming back to Houston. That's a different environment. You know your pitching's going to set up for you, or so you believe, and you could be in a different position. So you got to focus on winning tonight's game, and that's the easiest way to get over the sting of what happened last night.
Let's hear what Dusty had to say whenever we return about leaving in Lance McCullers. See if you agree, don't agree. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting live from the Blue Lagoon Bar and Grill in Texas City.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about my good friends at MyBookie. We know there's another weekend coming up. We know the Texans are playing Thursday night football, college sports, pro sports, the World Series, NBA basketball. If you know how to pick winners, why not get paid to pick them at MyBookie.ag? MyBookie.ag has the biggest online selection of odds and contests for all your sports betting needs. You can bet anytime, anywhere, any place, and it's truly amazing at MyBookie.ag. You can do the MyBookie Money Bag as well now. The MyBookie Money Bag, a one-of-a-kind opportunity to spin for crazy odds on props and futures. Place a bet. Spin the wheel. Get ready to score epic odds on the best teams, athletes, and events going on in the sports world. Sign up free today. Use the promo code BET975 and get your first deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. Put $1,000 in, you got an extra $500 in your account. Again, promo code BET975. Claim your deposit bonus and give yourself the competitive edge. More money in your account, more games you can bet on, and, of course, more chances to win. When you win, you're going to get paid because they take care of their customers. Turn your picks into winners at MyBookie.ag. It's not just a sports book, it's a community. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it, MyBookie.ag.
Live from Blue Lagoon Bar and Grill in Texas City for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees live from Blue Lagoon, a bar and grill in Texas City. Pizza fantastic. Drink specials here. $2 can beers, $3 can cocktails. We'll be here till 3. Wheelhouse will be here until 6 o'clock. It's their grand opening, so swing on by. Great spot. Blanker's calling it the best, what do you say, hit the best-kept secret in
best
the
kept
city.
Secret in the outskirts of Houston.
It is a spot to be. It is fantastic. Food's great. Drink specials. The views are fantastic as well, and it's a beautiful day to hang out on the outside, too, the outside deck. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Frank, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Frank?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, I just wanted to call and talk about that call from Gary. One, that was ridiculous. Two, you guys called Lance McCullers the third best pitcher on this team. That's false. Christian Javier should have started that game last night. I firmly believe that's why we swept the Yankees, because Christian Javier put his foot on their throat, and I think he would have did the same thing to the Phillies last night. Good news is I think he's going to do it tonight. But, yeah, you can't win any games 0-0, but if you give up one run, you still lost. So pitchers got to do their job. So, yeah, thanks. I should
appreciate it. Yeah, thank you, Frank. Appreciate the call. I'm not sure. Did we say that Lance was the third best pitcher on this team?
No, I said they considered him the third best pitcher on this team because they put him third in the rotation, because I am also of the belief Javier should have pitched in the third game. But
you were on that before they made the switch.
And I said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And it worked against the Yankees, and I thought that Javier should again be your Game 3 starter. And you know, Dusty thought otherwise, or Dusty and Click combined. So from that standpoint, I agree. I think Javier should have been the Game 3 starter. Now,
it doesn't matter to me as much like who starts Game 3, who starts Game 4. Like, the significance of the Game 3 starter isn't about Game 3, Game 4. It's about Game 7.
It is, too, and totally, you're totally right in the big picture, but also as it relates to just the more here and now aspect of it. It's your first game in Philly. You know that fan base is going to be raucous, and if you can put up a couple of goose eggs and you can set a tone, especially if your offense can put anything on the board, now it's a different crowd and a different environment than a home run from your best player in the first inning that sets the place ablaze and just creates a totally different environment and an atmosphere that's not conducive to you making a comeback or winning the ballgame.
But who would you rather have pitching tonight down 2-1, McCullers or Javier?
I like Christian Javier.
So, I mean, that's kind of what
right.
I mean. Game 3 starter, Game 4 starter, doesn't really matter. Where it becomes an issue is if the series gets to 7. Yep. And now Lance McCullers is available on full rest. Christian Javier has 3 days rest. And, you know, maybe you still make that move, but the pitcher on 3 days rest versus full rest.
You're right. I just think that when you evaluate it, that, you know what, we always talk about the Janet Jackson aspect of what have you done for me lately. Now you look at what McCullers has done in his last two starts, no matter what he did to get there, and now you're going to have some serious doubt and reservations about using him in a Game 7 and instead maybe go to an extended bullpen day where just everybody with all hands on deck, give me an inning, give me two, give me three, and we'll go, you know, we'll make the next move accordingly based on what you have and how effective you are.
5-7-4-2, two straight McCullers starts. The rain has messed up his routine. Of course, the rain delay in New York got pushed back, and then the postponement on Monday started on Tuesday. It says, do you guys think that has anything to do with it? If it does have anything to do with it, Lance McCullers is soft, and you cannot trust him.
Yeah, and again, it's not like what he was dealing with in New York when there was a substantial delay and everything was kind of up in the air as to when the game would start, and then maybe you could use that as somewhat of an excuse. Although I didn't think he pitched awful, but you could make the excuse that maybe it affected his effectiveness because of the way the pregame was handled with the weather. Last night, there wasn't a cloud in the sky by game time. There wasn't an issue to deal with. So, I mean, you've got to have everything that you know that you need at your access. You got to do everything the way you're normally doing it, and you've got to be prepared. That's on you and your pitching coaches. And I don't think that anything was done differently or where you can use that as a crutch for what happened last night.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. We're talking about that dusty leash. And here are two different sides of the ledger here on the text line. 4965, are you kidding me? You didn't think Dusty left McCullers in too long? That is some DAS. Look, he retired eight in a row, eight into that fifth inning. You don't retire, you don't sit down a pitcher, you don't pull a pitcher who's retired eight straight. The other side of the ledger when it comes to this conversation, the heat shouldn't be on Dusty. The heat should be on Lance for crap in the bed. That was another big moment for him and blew it point blank, period. Now our other pitchers need to step up and the bats need to wake up. This is the darn World Series. Here's what Dusty Baker had to say when he was asked after the game yesterday on the decision to allow Lance McCullers to pitch the fifth and the third time through the order.
Well, the thought process was the fact that he had two good innings, two real good innings, and then they hit a blooper, a homer, and then I couldn't get anybody loose. I mean, you know, it was my decision.
I agree with Dusty. I agree. You have a dude that's retired eight straight. There's no sense to have somebody up in the bullpen when you're down by four runs. You're thinking that Lance has it figured out. He's going to keep you in the game. You don't have to burn the bullets. You're not going to use your plus pitchers down by four runs when it's the first game of three in a row that you have to play in Philadelphia. I think that Dusty made the right decision. Sometimes the right decisions don't work.
Yeah, look, like I said, the only nitpicking I would do is because of the fact that he had thrown so many pitches and he was in so many high-leverage situations already that you might have wanted to have someone already warming at the start of the fifth just because you knew he wasn't going to go much longer regardless and that you could have someone ready to go. But other than that, I don't think that he handled it wrong. I don't think that he, you know, in retrospect that he would have done it differently even if he could have, except for the fact that, like even he indicated, maybe have someone already ready to go. But I'm not pointing the finger at Dusty Baker. I mean, I'm pointing it firmly at Lance McCullers where it belongs. And I'm pointing it at an offense that, again, like I said, did your starting pitcher in his first appearance ever in the World Series a favor by swinging at everything in the first inning and giving him some confidence and then just kind of changing your approach into more of a desperation every time you were up at the plate instead of doing those kind of at-bats that can get you into deep innings and possibly set you up for run-scoring innings. I just felt like they got out of what they're good at doing.
Waka tipping us off on Twitch. I didn't mean that pun, tipping, after Lance McCullers was tipping yesterday. Yep. Chaz McCormick on Twitter, he just quote-tweeted an umpire auditor video that shows when Ranger Suarez got McCormick looking for strike three, which wasn't a great call. Right. McCormick just quote-tweeted and said, not even close. I don't like this. Like, I don't think McCormick is wrong. Obviously, it wasn't in the zone. It was inside. I think it was a bad ring-up. It was in a pretty big spot, too. You had runners in the corners, yep. Two outs in the second when you're trying to get back into the game. I don't know if I love the look of Chaz McCormick quote-tweeting the called strike three on a missed call when your team got beat 7-0 yesterday.
It's spilled milk. There's nothing to be gained by it now, but there's plenty to be that can cost you because you don't think word's going to get back whether umpires are on Twitter or not. You don't think word's going to circulate quickly that, hey, you know what, Chaz was out there on Twitter basically banging on the umpire for not helping him out last night and doing the right thing. They don't like that. The same way that baseball cracked down years ago on talking back to an umpire or showing him up or even during an at-bat talking to him too much, they don't want any of that kind of back and forth, and they don't want the players spouting off like that. you don't need to be doing that after game three of a World Series.
Yeah, I don't like that look. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRP listener line. Austin, you're in the high with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Austin?
Hey, guys. Big fan. So, man, I can completely agree, I believe, with Frank and a few other people have made some mentions, as well as y'all. I don't completely put this on the offense's fault. I mean, at the end of the day, you can look at the game four of the ALCS this year where, I mean, they went up early 3-0, and then the offense brought it back, and then Lance was able to use that momentum and to keep pushing it forward. Now, at the end of the day, too, though, like, I mean, Lance, he's got to execute better. And he's just got to execute better. It doesn't make any sense. He's got to execute better. It doesn't make – you can't go into game three, especially with just – how he is and his bravado, he's just got to execute. As well as also, I do feel like the umps, man, they were calling stuff for Ranger pretty well to the point where it's just stuff that was outside and inside that just didn't make any sense. It should have been called strike, and it was.
Yeah, it was. Thanks for the call, Austin. Let's go backwards first there. Okay. I don't disagree that the umpire was inconsistent in that game yesterday. It
but
did not at
you,
all impact
no,
the outcome of the game.
You can't blame the umpires for the way you didn't step up and perform.
No, and I also don't think Lance was getting squeezed, right? Like, Lance McCullers wasn't getting squeezed. I didn't think so.
Did you see his
reactions? There was one in particular where it could have been a called strike three. It was like a you can do it, you can't do it type of deal. It was like a 50-50 call. And
well, he ended up striking him out on the next pitch, but then walked around the mound and kept barking at the plate and wanting to know where it was and why it wasn't called. Yeah. It's like, that should be put behind you the minute you have to throw your next pitch.
I'm not looking at the umpires whenever the Phillies set a record for the most home runs in a World Series game off a single pitcher, and I'm not looking at the umpires when you lose 7-0. That's also not to say that Austin was wrong. I didn't think the umpire behind the plate had a great game, but that had zero influence on the game, I thought. As far as the Lance McCullers thing, like the effective,
he's got to do better.
He does. He's got to do better. He's got to do better than how he performed.
We can break it down a million ways, Jeremy. He just got to do better.
Got to do better. 4488. There is no game eight. Stop saving the bullpen like an NFL coach saves timeouts or challenge flags in the first half. I understand what you're saying, 4488. I get that. You got to keep that as a 4-0 game. Here's the counterpoint that I would have. One, they didn't score any other runs. I know that's hindsight 2020. But do you want to run out your top four leverage guys when you're down by four runs in the fifth inning? Do you want to use Abreu? Do you want to use Neris? Do you want to use Montero? Do you want to use Presley? Hoping and praying that your offense can come back from a 4-0 lead. And then if they don't, they're compromised in game
four. You burn them, and then it can burn you because you use them all up, and then maybe you don't make the comeback offensively. And now tonight, if Javier shoves and he gives you five or six, and you're looking for those same guys to do what they did the night before or keep you in the ball game, they're not as fresh. They're not as accurate. They're not placing their pitches with control the way they normally do. And now you leave yourself an opening that you didn't otherwise have. So I don't think you can use – you can't pull a Rob Thompson and use your high leverage guys there down as much as you were down.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. The Killer Bees broadcasting live from Blue Lagoon Bar and Grill in Texas City.